Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah. This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Good to have you on board. Busy hour coming up. NBA Finals Game 1 tonight. We'll touch on that. Big UFC event. Awesome main event. Lou Finocchiaro at the bottom of the hour. We begin here talking some National Football League and in particular football contests this year as James Sullivan joins the program now, creator of Survivor Sweat. He'll tell you what that is coming up in a few minutes. Good to see you again. How is the how has the offseason been treating you?
It's a short offseason. I mean, it feels like we were just here a couple months ago with our clients, obviously at the window collecting prize money. But it's a short offseason, and we're back at it, obviously, 2 weeks into the contest here.
Yeah. What'd you make of the guarantee for Survivor here at Circa? They put out $15 million. I think you and I are exactly on the same wavelength here. We think that this thing can go – basically, there's no ceiling to this. But what do you think about the $15 million guarantee?
Yeah, I mean, I said last year I think there'll be over 20 million mm-hmm. this year. I think that 15 million is the number I guess that they would set it at. Derek likes nice round numbers, you know, being at 14.2 last year. I thought he'd make it 15 million. I think they're going to blow past it. I think it's going to approach 20 million.
And you said that you were adamant last year that they'd get to 20 million, and your reasons were awesome as well. So some of the reasons, let's start with this, and the gentleman from Canada, but he's not the only one. If you can share that story with now, people see this as an investment, and can I survive the carnage early and then buy 10 and then just sell them?
Yeah, so with our marketplace, there's an opportunity to sell your entry. You can sell anywhere between 1% up to 99%, and you can sell it as early as, you know, week one, week two. You could buy them before the season and sell them. So with that ability to monetize your entry so early, you know, we've seen clients that, you know, years past, they would buy one, maybe two Survivor entries. They're now buying 10 Survivor entries. They're, you know, buying them with opportunity to sell them after 1 or 2 weeks. There was a guy, I told the story last year from Canada. You know, he didn't know the difference between, you know, he literally didn't know how to bet, but he saw it as an opportunity. He didn't know money line. He didn't know anything. And he bought 10 entries. He made it through 2 weeks, not all of them, but enough of them made it through 2 weeks. He turned around, he sold them all, and he ended up profiting on that investment. He'll be back this year. We've got another guy, I think I just told you, sorry, last year played one entry in Circa Millions. This year he already told us he's coming back and he's buying 10 entries in Survivor. So you see this, you know, a lot of times these clients that are, you know, once they realize they can monetize the entry, they're looking to maximize what they can do with them.
Yeah, and here's the thing too about Survivor. We're always going to get some sort of chaos. Otherwise it would be boring. It probably would never even exist, right? And then you'd have like 2,000 people splitting the pot at the end of the year. You will have multiple weeks at some point throughout the season, maybe not like last year. Maybe last year was a little bit unique, right? Because that gentleman from Canada who came in, everything went his way immediately, right? And for the first month, it was complete bedlam. You might not get it to start the year, but at some point throughout the course of like, well, what is 20 seasons here at Circa, you're going to get absolute, you know, bedlam to take place.
Yeah, and the one thing I tell, you know, customers that call is early in the season, those entries sell at a premium because those that are eliminated, they don't sell at EV. They sell above EV, actually. And as the contest goes on, as it gets later in the season, when they become worth so much money, that's when they come back to where they're worth EV. And then sometimes they sell even for less than the implied equity of what the entry's worth. So early in the season, if you can make it through a couple weeks, they sell for at a premium because those that are eliminated, they want to get back in so bad.
Yes.
In fact, the gentleman last year who purchased controlling interest in the Vakajani entry purchased that entry at a premium going into week three. And he ran the tables from week three to week 18 and ended up cashing for, you know, whatever it was, $1.5 million or whatever it was.
Yeah, yeah. Incredible yeah. story. How yeah. about the gentleman who, see, you're never out of this, and you can always get a bid and you can negotiate this stuff, but the guy who only had the Bears on that Christmas week, and but it worked out where the guys who had Seattle had multiple entries, but they teamed up where, hey, actually, if I can buy his entry, Chicago wins, I'm okay, I'm going to protect myself, and how that sold for six figures.
Yeah, so that entry, so they had two entries going into Christmas week, and they were so concerned. Their plan was to split those entries, do one on each. And he had told us, we talked to him at the prize ceremony, he then came in, he bought that third entry, he bought the entry that had the Bears, which allowed him to keep two of his picks on Seattle.
Yes. Okay,
so going into the week after that, he had two. If he would not have had that second entry, if he would have split them, he would have been eliminated the following week. He told us that story because he would have taken, I can't remember what team he ended up taking, but he would have been out the week before the finish. But buying that entry gave him that flexibility to keep two entries. The following week, he split those entries and then made it into the final week and then ultimately cashed.
Unreal.
Incredible.
Yeah. How often do you see that where somebody will make it? And we did last year again. But we're talking halfway through the season where somebody is riding out basically the same team. They're on, they're going like full shove, all 10 entries on one team every week.
Yeah, we saw, obviously last year, we saw it with that entry. And it's happened 2 years in a row. We had a client 2 years ago who had all 10 entries going into Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
He had the Lions against the Packers, and he had all, he was debating going into that week whether he goes 8-2 or, you know, and last minute he pulled the trigger, all 10 on the Lions, eliminated that week.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you have onions to do that.
Yeah. And he was a professional poker player. His, you know, I always say everyone has a risk tolerance, what their risk tolerance is. Right. His risk tolerance is significantly higher. Yeah. And he went all in, all 10, and was eliminated.
Yeah, everybody's going to be different here.
Yep. Yeah. Right? Can you talk about the everything's open to negotiation? In terms of how much do I want to buy, what percentage, and then who controls the pick?
Yeah, so it's all built into the platform. So when you post your entry, there's a box you check as to whether you want to give up pick control or whether you want to keep pick control. And obviously, it's determined on what percentage you're willing to sell. If you're selling more than 50%, you obviously have to give up pick control. But you could sell minority stakes, you know, 1, 5, 10%, and keep pick control. But if you give up the pick control, you'll note it on your listing. So when someone's coming in, the site has features where it's just like eBay. You know, you can make an offer, you can counter offer, all through the platform. Once a deal is agreed upon, both parties agree and accept, then that triggers the contract. There's clearly paperwork on the back end to formalize that transaction. But everything is built into the platform where you can negotiate on the site and ultimately come to an agreement.
And you said, sorry, Paul, said it's between 1 and 99%. So that's the longer the season goes on, if one person is selling a single entry, there's something guaranteed to where he can never sell more than 99% of that entry, even if he splits it off like 10, 12, 15 different times?
Right. He has to keep at least 1%. As the entry owner. The owner, the original owner of that entry has to keep 1%. So it's up to 1 to 99% that he could sell.
So you have the FOMO, you have business opportunity, and you have, oh my God, I got knocked out. I hate how I'm feeling, but I can come right back
right,
in.
I'm
right?
not waiting another
that's,
year.
That's awesome. I can jump right back in. And who's our friend we just had on? The last 2 years he's won it. Blanket on his name.
Greg Jones
as well. And he was just on and told that story as well. So based on all this is so good. And what you're hearing right now and what the numbers are at, you're stronger than ever on 20 million based on the pace they're on right now too.
Yeah, it's ahead of pace. I mean, obviously we're only 2 weeks in, so it's a small data sample, but it's ahead of pace. Definitely probably about 30% ahead of pace. So if you extrapolate that out, you know, you're looking at 18, 19,000. We always see a huge surge those last 9 days. That's when the numbers just jump off the page. So I still am comfortable saying 20 million. Maybe it comes up a little short, but I think it's going to be pretty close to 20 million.
Yeah. And are you seeing more people trying to jump in and be proxies as a result of this?
Well, there's four main proxies. As you know, if you play from out of state, you have to hire a proxy here locally who submits your picks. There's more and more proxies every year. Yeah. But there's four main ones that handle the bulk of the entries for this contest and for the Westgate.
Okay. What are you hearing about Grandissimo? The entry that's for $100,000 to get in, as Derek, unleashed all hell last week or 2 weeks ago with us on the show. Totally took everybody by surprise. One entry so far. How many do we get in that bad boy?
I think that one definitely gets, it will exceed the guarantee on that one too. My estimate, I know internally, I think there are around like 25 entries. I've heard upwards of 30 entries. I can speak from like our clients that we work with. We've got probably four that are in the queue right now that have not registered but are planning to be out here in the next 2 weeks. Our podcast hosts, Mike Buckmiller and Russell Rosenblum, they host the Survivor Sweat podcast. They'll be purchasing two entries, and then they'll be selling shares in the Survivor Sweat marketplace.
Really?
So you'll have a chance to buy in on some former champs that won it in 2022.
All right.
For Grandissimo. Okay.
Yeah, for
good
the
job.
Grandissimo.
That's
yeah.
great
Mike
news.
Mike Palm said 39 and a half.
39 and a half?
That entries yesterday with us.
Yeah. I said 35. I've heard 25, but they exceed it for sure.
Okay. How about the new guy, Westgate? $5,000 entry survivor. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that one will probably have a couple hundred entries is my guess. I think they get just over a million in the prize pool for that one. Anywhere between 200 to 300 would be my guess on that one.
Okay. Yeah, I made it 300. He said he went way under.
I think it'll be.
But that's 200, yeah.
I think in that 200 to 300 range would be. Remember, we brought in, Sherman's on a little bit later on today, but an hour from right now. We brought him on like a day or two after they announced that, right? I think it was maybe the next week, and he said, if we get 200, we're going to be pretty happy with that.
Yeah, I think they'd be happy with, something in the 200 range for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what do you make of them, the Westgate, going back to $1,500 for the buy-in to the Super Contest?
I was surprised, to be quite honest with you. I mean, $1,000 number is just a nice number. Obviously, it differentiates themselves between the two contests, so it does create a point of differentiation. But I was surprised when they increased it back to $1,500.
Well, I'm a fan of the college contest, and I know with the Golden Nugget going bye-bye, we needed to have a college contest.
Absolutely. There's been big demand for that. Yeah. We get clients asking us all the time for college contests.
I bet.
So I think that one will be really popular.
Okay. Yeah. Tell us about Survivor Sweat again.
So the marketplace is actually open right now, but for those that are looking to enter, it provides a proxy service as well. So if you're looking for a proxy, it has both the proxy and the marketplace built into the platform. So you can not only make your picks on a weekly basis, but then you can also, if you wanted to, like, buy and sell on there. So it's all built into one platform.
Can't wait to talk to you later in the year when things get heating up. Good to see you again.
Thanks, guys, for having me.
If you'd like to play Circa Survivor or Circle Millions for free, winner Circle Proxy, giving away one free entry at each contest plus full proxy service. Enter now for your chance to win. WinnerCircleProxy.com/VSiN. WinnerCircleProxy.com/VSiN.
The documentary, again, that'll come out a little bit later on this year, The Quest for $14.2 million, that's not going to hurt things either.
That's true.
That will only help people get that. The juice is flowing again.
Yeah, for sure. And that's why, I mean, like I said, I see it getting close to 20 million. Once that thing comes out, you just see the excitement build, and it's the FOMO, and everyone wants in. Everyone wants a chance at the big prize pool.
I wonder what we're going to be guessing for next year if they get to like $20, $21 million this year.
25. Right? Yeah, I mean, I always said I think this could be the World Series of Poker, or it just increases every year.
Yep, same here.
Could be.
Thank you again. We appreciate that. There you go, James Sullivan, thanks. Survivor Sweat up next. Game one of the NBA Finals. It doesn't get much worse or uglier than 3-17 ATS over a 20-year span. Find out what that angle is next here on VSiN. Entering play today, Major League Baseball. Warmer weather across the country in most of these ballparks, which also means better friendly conditions. It's playing out like that. We're seeing a lot of runs in some of these games. We're also seeing like bad bullpens really on display today. We mentioned that Atlanta-Arizona game. You had it in win-lose as well. It was 10-4 Atlanta in the ninth. They lost 11-10. The KC-Cardinal game was stupid. 3-0 Royals. How about this, by the way? This really grinds my gears.
Damn right.
I know that Cameron's only a rookie, and they're going to be, quote, you know, careful and watch the 82 pitches. Get him out of the game.
Wow. I'll one-up you. There's talk they might send him down. If they send that guy down after he's the second pitcher in history to do this, how stupid would that be?
It's tied into what the Brewers did with Logan Henderson. He was off to a similar start as Cameron is right now. Oops, we got other guy. And by the way, Woodruff got hurt again. Like in his, what are you doing, Brewers? They just the player control stuff just sucks. The pitch counts suck. The blackout rules in baseball, the worst of all time. But we're getting runs now today across the country. Toronto blowing out Philly 9-1 and the continent, I should say, overall. The A's 12-1 now over the Twins.
Yeah.
That park, man.
You're right. That was supposed to be Lopez, I believe, who's out 8 to 12 weeks now. And Minnesota's on a great run, but you're not going to lose every game. Third team in the last 50 years to lose 21-22.
Yep.
And they finally came to play today.
Now, here come the Dodgers. 3 runs to make it a 4-3 game in favor of the Mets. Right now, the Dodgers are plus 120 to win the game. They've used 8 combined relievers the last 2 days, though.
Yep.
And I don't like their pen.
Mm-hmm.
The way it's trending right now, guys are banged up. Who's really that good out of there? And here's another one, too. They're in the sixth right now in the Bay Area. It's 3-2 Giants over the Padres. In-game total is 7.5. Are we going to get it? Where both bullpens come in.
Yeah, there's been chaos here, and it's weird.
Yeah.
Weird endings. Yep, that's a good angle. I like where your head's at. Strong. I don't mind coming back with St. Louis tonight. Reagan's making his first start since May 16th. He's been bad against St. Louis. And how do you not play against the Rangers again? Leiter's been solid the last couple starts, but Tampa at home playing good ball. Texas can't hit. Gave out Tampa yesterday, and Tampa's only $1.40 today. Seems like a good play.
I'm a little mixed on what to do with Reagan tonight because, like, how long is he going to go?
Yeah.
Now, he only missed. It really wasn't that long of a stint. It was the typical, like, 15-day, hey, he's going to be good to go. They never considered anything beyond that. His K numbers are so strong this year. But does he come out there? Is he a little bit wild? The walk's up a little bit this year as well. Does he go five innings or not? Because one book opened him up 5.5 with the K prop last night at like almost plus 120. And to me, that was very tantalizing. But now that number has moved, and that's the confusion, though. Like, does he go long enough to pick up six Ks in the game? As for tonight, Paulie, in the NBA, game one, this is from Steve Mackin in vsin.com. The 2025 NBA Finals going tonight, history suggests it could be a one-sided affair, at least in game one. Over the last 20 years, dogs in the opener of the finals are only 2-18 straight up and 3-17 ATS, including a dismal 0-12 straight up and 1-11 ATS record when catching five or more points. Oklahoma City in this game tonight laying 9.5 or 10, marking the second largest game one spread since 2001.
Yeah. Third largest in 35 years. Can't believe it. Then the record, the big tickets that can cash. Again, you go back, the 14-15 Warriors were 30-1 coming into the season. The bubble Miami Heat were 75-1, and the Nets in 01-02 were 60-1. And then these guys were 60-1 before the season and got as high as 125-1. It's not a fluke. They're the real deal. They have the second best record in the league since January 1st. They took out Cleveland in five. They took out the Knicks. They had no problems with Milwaukee. This team's a real deal. But OKC is so strong defensively. And the big concern here is what they've done to Halliburton in the last four games, holding him to 12 points per game and only taking 10 shots. It's your guy, Dortcher Chambers, been great. So I hope we get a long series, but they're going to get killed on the glass. It comes down to what are they doing offensively. They've been so good. Number two in the playoffs in offense. Best three-point shooting team in the playoffs. Can they knock them down from three? And can they knock down the corner threes? We're the one instance where OKC is weak and have a flaw.
Again, OKC allows 12.4 corner three-point attempts per game so far in the playoffs. Second most. Indiana has been shooting the ball lights out from downtown, as you just said. Super high percentage.
It's a lot of guys, too.
Yeah, yep. The three-point shot, this is why the NBA is just, it's completely different than 20 years ago. Because if the Pacers come out tonight and they are, I'll throw a couple of numbers out there. If they're 12 of 21 from deep in the first half of the game, and OKC is allowing all those open threes and they're hitting them from multiple angles and different guys are, you know, coming off the bench and knocking them down as well, that shot alone completely changes how a game will go and how maybe a series can go over seven games. Because Oklahoma City, that's not their bread and butter. They don't shoot a zillion threes a game. They don't rely on they're not the Boston Celtics. They just have a ton of guys. It's death by 1,000 paper cuts. They got SGA, who's the MVP, and their defense is otherworldly.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not exactly the same formula for this team. But the three-point shot just flips everything upside on its head.
The other thing, too, is if they win, people are already calling for a dynasty and what could happen. Because it's the youngest team to make the finals since the 77 Blazers, and you only got two guys on the team over 30. So, and all these assets and picks they have coming up as well. And what they're going to do with that.
Yeah, they're 2-1 to win the title next year.
Yeah, yeah. They're only going to get better. And these guys helping out. So, Von Tobel made the case earlier. It's a big about Chet and not so much Hartenstein. And he might not get a lot of run. But if Holmgren has a big game, he can cash some nice tickets not only tonight, but in the series. And we mentioned the one prop. Will he have 10 points in every game? It's $1.50. That's widely available. Will he average 20 for the series? Will he average 15-5? Will he have 15-5 in every game? It's 11-1. And also, what does Williams do? Who's had some moments, but he's also had some clunkers as well. You know, there's 16-1 both ways. If one guy, will Siakam outscore Williams? Williams outscores Siakam in every game. That stuff's up there as well. And Von Tobel made the case that could be a big series for Siakam, and why not, after what he did against the Knicks and winning Eastern Conference Finals MVP.
I think there are two guys for Oklahoma City who you can bank on getting minutes anyway. If it turns into a blowout, then all bets are off, because we saw that in one of the games in the playoffs where Oklahoma City was involved in a blowout and Caruso only played like 9 minutes. But I think Caruso is one of the guys for Oklahoma City, and the other one would be Cason Wallace. And his points, rebounds, and assist prop tonight is 12.5. Over at some spots is minus 105. He's over that number in six out of his last nine games. He played 24-plus minutes in four out of the five games in the Western Conference Finals. And he has the highest net rating of any player in the playoffs and the best individual defensive rating as well. So JVT came on an hour ago, and he said that the market is still not high enough on that kid. I agree. Mm-hmm. I love the draft pick 2 years ago when they took him out of Kentucky. And Caruso is the other guy, too. Assuming that minutes are going to be there, and defensively, he's been guarding Karl-Anthony Towns and Nikola Jokic so far in the playoffs. You think that kid's good at all defensively? So he'll be on Halliburton. He'll be on some of these other guys as well. He might be on Siakam a little bit. And his numbers are around 14.5 for tonight. And he's not afraid to let it fly from downtown.
Mm-hmm. Mathurin, go ahead.
I was going to say, I mean, he's 9-3. So I was wrong on him the first two games against the Knicks. Came on after that. Points prop opened up 7.5. 9-3 over that number when he plays double-digit minutes. 20 points in 12 minutes against the Knicks in Game 4, 23 in 25 minutes in Game 5, and he had 19 or more points in two of the first three games in that Cleveland series.
Do the Pacers take care of the ball?
No.
Oh, then it's
good. I don't think so, because Oklahoma City, that's why one of the reasons why they're so good.
54 double-digit wins in the regular season, defensive efficiency 104.7 in the playoffs, on average 18 turnovers forced a game, leading to 23 points the other way. Good night if that happens.
That's one thing that Minnesota could not do.
That's right.
But they're sloppy anyway.
But. Yeah, but they got great looks, though. And you have to be encouraged if you're a Pacer fan by what happened in Game 1, Game 3, and Game 4. 140 points in Game 3, 126 points in Game 4. That's without the Randall and others playing well.
Randall and Edwards.
That's right.
Yeah.
Game 1, didn't play well, but got great looks, had the lead at halftime. And OKC hasn't covered a game on the road in the playoffs.
Right.
So that's what gives you hope for your Indiana. I'd feel better with the 2-3-2 format, though. But what are you going to do about that? Introducing the $500 try from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. All you need to do is open a GBank Visa Signature credit card in the first 90 days, deposit, and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger the trifecta. $200 in cash back rewards on the VSiN Signature credit card. First Bet gives you a $100 deposit match, and VSiN gives you the pro subscription through August 31st. $200 value. That's the $500 try from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. Go to VSiN.com/GBank. It's limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer. VSiN.com/GBank.
Big card in the UFC this weekend. Lou Finocchiaro joins the show up next with Best Bets. Lou wrote about a warning for UFC bettors on VSiN.com. Got something you got to pay attention to. Find out what it is next here on VSiN.
Is Follow the Money on
VSiN. On paper, we have one hell of a main event this weekend. UFC 316 back in New Jersey. And to talk about it right now with some best bets is friend of the show and network Lou Finocchiaro. Dynamite analysis up on the website as always at VSiN.com, and he is on the Progressive guest line. Uncle Lou, thanks for the time as always. Appreciate you taking some time to join us here on the program. But your lead to your analysis on the website anyway, started with a warning for UFC bettors based on the location of the event this weekend. What is that warning for us?
First, guys, thanks so much for having me. The mixed martial arts world loves the time. The warning shot is a simple one, and that is that when you're an old saddle like me and you've been around different states and events boxing into mixed martial arts, you learn which fight commissions, because each state has one, and that's what regulates each boxing match, and therefore there was no time to establish new mixed martial arts commissions. So mixed martial arts lives under the umbrella of boxing, and that is it just filled full of greed, avarice, and vice. And in Jersey, Florida, and Texas, you still have very antiquated commissions, mm-hmm. that shirt tail their members. When one leaves, he gives it to his grandson or his brother-in-law or his son-in-law, however it works. But the bottom line is that everyone knows the umbilical to today's fight commissions in each state are tied to boxing. Some are better than others. Nevada's a good one. Others are good. And even in good jurisdictions, men, we get some funny decisions. Yep. In New Jersey, I'm telling you to be prepared for it may or may not happen, but I can sure see it happen. There's one Jersey kid fighting there. And in the main event, Merab Dvalishvili, and he fights out of the Longo camp from New York. They're right across the river.
Very good. Great analysis. And how about that main event? The cash cow, O'Malley, a big dog here, but a unique way that you want to play it. Walk us through and take us through this one.
Yeah, with this fight, again, I'm an Arizona resident, so we have available to us these points. In the first fight, O'Malley lost by a total of 5 points across the decision. One judge had it by Dvalishvili by 3 points, and the other two each had it once. We lost by 5. In this fight, to take Sean O'Malley plus 5.5 points, you actually have to pay 135. But it's my opinion, and I wrote this up in the VSiN Digital article, I think we're going to get O'Malley's best effort. He was the champ. He's been dethroned. He had a labrum fixed. He has no excuses. He's also been out of the public eye. He's not dying his hair. He quit smoking weed, according to him, and he's changed his lifestyle. All signs of a guy that's really focused on giving us his best product on Saturday. And in that first fight, he only lost by those points. Now, the Dvalishvili win was sound, but he was clowning around. This is a guy that jumped into a lake in the middle of winter, and it wasn't unfrozen. He hit head first, bounced up, had stitches. The guy is an unbelievable wrestler. He's an unbelievable fighter. But if there's a drastic mismatch in this fight, it's fight IQ and overall IQ. And if Merab has taken O'Malley any kind of lightly in this fight, or if he gets too predictable rushing in for one of those takedowns, I think O'Malley's going to be in a better position to line him up or at least keep the fight standing. You don't learn wrestling in a few months, and O'Malley's been trying to improve his grappling and wrestling for many months. I think he was taken by surprise in the first fight because of Merab's cardio and his strength, but he won't be surprised in this one. And I think O'Malley in that point situation is a real great opportunity.
Right, great analysis. What's inside the distance pay?
Inside the distance for O'Malley?
Yeah.
I think you got a plus 450 or so. I don't have my notes right here. But for those in the Vegas area that are unable to take advantage of the point situation, mm-hmm. then I think that lightning in your bottle is is winning method. And for O'Malley to go inside the distance, or I should say an O'Malley TKO, that's 450. Any O'Malley inside the distance, which would include sub and DQ, that's 4.25. I would recommend the inside the distance O'Malley inside, because I do believe the most likely way he beats Merab is by catching him and knocking him out.
Okay. How about Pena Harrison with the prop 4.5 over plus money and also the points here? How you want to attack this?
Yeah, well, you look at that line, Harrison minus 750, and based on who she is and the savant vice grip wrestler she is, and she trains with 155-pound men in Dagestan. The gal's a killer, but she's not a finisher. She finished Holly Holm, but this Juliana Pena, everyone seems to be overlooking her. You know, she combs her hair and she puts makeup on, and she's not an unattractive woman, but here's what she really is. She's a junkyard dog, mean as hell, and she feels totally overlooked and disrespected in this fight, and she has ability. Let's not forget she submitted Amanda Nunes. Now, I don't think she can have that kind of performance against Harrison, but I really believe that this fight goes over 4.5, and you get a handsome plus 150 if you consider that approach. For the fight to go the distance, plus 165, I like both of those angles. I do not believe Harrison will get Pena out. Pena's too proud, too tough, too versed. This is going to be a roll on the canvas for some time, because I do believe Harrison will be able to get her down, but Pena's not going anywhere. I do believe this fight ends in decision. And if you were so inclined, the Pena points, again, I hate to keep bringing that up for the people in Nevada, but Pena points plus 5.5 is plus 215. I like that as well.
It's okay. Some of us make a drive once in a while, and we're much bigger outside of the state of Nevada anyway, so that's, we got that going for us. It's Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Our guest, Lou Finocchiaro, talking UFC 316 this weekend back in New Jersey. He's on the Progressive guest line. What do you make of Holland? Now I'm seeing about minus 270 here against Luque.
Yeah, we wanted to get him earlier, but I he's that price for a reason. The last time Luque fought out east was just two or three fights ago, and he didn't make 4 minutes. He is a warrior, and quite honestly, Luque is a fighter that needs cooperation from an opponent. And if said opponent is not nimble and will acquiesce and stand and trade with Luque, then Luque has a great shot. Despite the fact that he's lost some of his chin because of the wars he's been in over his career. He's 35, 36 years old now. Kevin Holland is nimble, he's athletic, he's evasive, he's powerful, and he's well-rounded. Those are all terrible recipes to fight Luque, and I look for Kevin Holland to be a parlay piece because I do believe that he's just going to be too fast, too evasive for Luque. Luque doesn't have the feet to compete with Kevin Holland.
2 minutes left, Lou. Couple more picks. Spivak by sub, 3-1.
Spivak, the polar bear, but he's not as fast as polar bears are actually fast, but Spivak is more like a glacier. That's how fast he is. But he's a submission artist, and he's fighting a kid out of the Dominican, Cortez Acosta, got power for 5 minutes. Which means that if Spivak can evade the power and get this fight to the second round, I believe the fight turns in his favor. He's strong. He'll press Acosta against the fence when Acosta slows down, take it to the floor, and submit him. And I think that that's the likely way for Spivak to win this fight. And I do like him as a short favorite here, but I like him via sub at 3-1.
And the Gastelum fight to go the distance, plus 105, and a slice of Mama's Pizza on Da Silva, plus 410?
Yeah, the young Chinese fighter, Kong, doesn't have the experience and hasn't been in with the ilk that has young Adrienne. They're calling her Da Silva. She used to be Lipsky. She must have got married or something. I'm not sure. But I like the bomb a little bit, and Gastelum is another fight with feet. Pfeiffer don't have him. He's Frankenstein in there. Gastelum is not out of this fight. Rather than take Gastelum, indirectly I'll take him by taking the fight to go to decision, where I think Gastelum may or may not win a tight decision.
Very good. Dynamite analysis is always my man. You can follow Lou on X. He is at GamLou with the Bout Business podcast and also his weekly write-ups for this sport at vsin.com. Thanks, buddy. Good luck.
Thanks so much, guys. Have a great show. I'll be watching in.
Thanks, Lou. Let's cash that 4-1 ticket. NBA Finals, Stanley Cup Finals are here. Profit X offering the best odds all playoffs long. Peer-to-peer sports exchange available in 40-plus states. You'll be able to make your picks against other groups of fans rather than against the books. Exchanges guarantee you the best odds by 10 to 20%. Download Profit X today. Code VSIN. Earned up to $200 in profit cash. Code VSIN.
One of the big guys in this series might not have much of a role, so I fired on the player who would benefit the most. I'll explain that next.
This is Follow the Money on VSIN.
They go to the sixth. Dodger Stadium, Mets on top of the Dodgers by a score of 4-3. Dodgers had two runners on, first and second, and Enrique Hernandez at the plate. Terrible at bat out of him. Swinging that at everything that was leaving the hands of Peterson, still on the mound for the Mets.
Yeah, good numbers against them, too. Sitting 450 against them.
So, yeah, that's so now New York just moved from about $1.20 favorite to $1.86. Because of Peterson getting out of that jam that he was in. The Giants still leading the Padres 3-2. Updated total here now, Paulie, is 6.5. I'll tell you, this is me playing a lot of fantasy baseball. I can't do it anymore with Dylan Cease. I'm over him.
Yep.
Five innings today. So he gets 15 outs, allowed 5 hits, 3 earned runs, 3 walks, 7 Ks. The Ks are okay. But other than that, just it's when he puts together, put it this way, when he actually slaps together a good run, I'm surprised. And that's not good a good thing to say about a guy who's supposed to be like an ace of a team. And Twins trailing the A's right now in Sacramento by a score of 12-3. Updated total here in the game is 18.5. They're in the seventh inning. I see that. I think the A's just put in a pitcher who was not throwing a pitch since last year.
18.5?
18.5.
12-3?
12-3 right now, yeah. Seventh inning.
Wow.
And look at this now. Runners on first and second, nobody out. So, well, the crazy thing is here, we're so far behind on these betting apps compared to real time. Now it just dropped to 17.5.
Yeah.
So what is there, a double play? Oh, check that. I'm sorry. It's in the bottom of the hat. So A's are still betting.
Yeah. $220,000 bet just came in on the Thunder at Caesars. The individual laid 9.5 in the game. 10's out there, and 230 the total tonight. It's the biggest game one favorite. Third time we've had a favorite this priced in 35 years. So, see if Indiana can hang. I know the public's on Indiana as well. The series prices come down, and a lot of people taking the 10 tonight with the public in game one.
Remember what we saw yesterday, right? We saw plenty of money coming in on the Panthers on the series price on game day. And they had the game last night.
They did.
How often is that team going to blow a two-goal lead?
That's right.
So there is this. Like, how much stock do you put into this? Scott Seinberg had great notes the other night when he was hosting here on VSiN, and does a great job here on the network. And per his database that he uses, home teams like Oklahoma City tonight on 7-plus days of rest in the NBA Finals, 21-5 straight up, 19-7 ATS. The average line in those games, 8.3 points. They're 9.5 or 10 tonight, as you just said. In the first half, they're outscoring the opponent by about 9 points. When that team is a 9-point favorite in the finals, they're 7-0 straight up, 4-2-1 ATS, but they win the first half by almost 8 points. So the rust thing or the narrative has not factored in here for NBA teams anyway. 7-plus days, they're crushing opponents in the first half and covering these big first half numbers. And now the number has kind of gotten away from me to play it because you could have had 5 in the first half only 2 days ago. And now at most books, according to the screen, it looks like they're laying 6 here tonight in the first half. So I don't want to recommend getting involved this late to the party, but I'm not going to be surprised if Oklahoma City's up by like a dozen at halftime tonight.
Okay, so a lot of talk about blowouts, and they've won 54 games in the regular season by double digits. And they had some 30-point wins as well, and they had some huge wins in the playoffs as well. So if that happens, and it's a short series, DraftKings offers players to have the highest single-game scoring performance in the series. Shea's $5. But is there something there if they're blowing him out and he's sitting? That you, or other side, too. Because remember, they got housed in Game 3 in Minnesota. Siakam's 9-1, Williams is 8-1, Halliburton's 16-1, Holmgren's 50-1. If someone else could go off in this series.
I'll tell you what I would do. I'd look at, can you find the field bet?
Not offered.
Rather than pinpointing like the individual player, if they could make it Shea versus the field,
yeah,
that'd be intriguing to me.
Yeah.
Because then you're, again, kind of throwing darts at to which player that might be.
Yeah.
Like, do you think Siakam can go for 40 in a game
absolutely.
Against this defense?
Yes, he can.
He can?
Yes. How many threes will he shoot? But that's also could be tying into maybe a blowout, and then it's backups in there as well, and how Carlisle would treat it.
Is there
that's in play?
Is there a chance that Indiana blows out the Thunder in at least one of these games?
Yes.
Like Minnesota did in the previous series, I think so.
Yes.
But it would have to be at home.
Yes. And the threes are falling. Now is that Halliburton going for 40 though? Could that be? What if he's knocking down threes and penetrating and got the fast break stuff going? Tough as well. Von Tobel mentioned the big move in the assist market. He was $9 to have the most assists in the series. He's down to $4. Others making the case for Williams and also SGA. Rebounds, Chet's $1.80. Siakam's plus +450, Williams 13-1. Threes.
Yeah, I'm banking on Chet to have a big series here.
Halliburton's $1.20. Nesmith plus +425. Dort 5-1, SGA 11, Turner 11, Williams 11, Nembhard 20.
Don't you think there's value? Because like Halliburton doesn't necessarily have to lead this series in three-point shooting. Why does it have to be him? Why is he the odds-on guy?
No, I don't agree with it either. And he's setting these other guys up, too. Plus, it's not him. Corner threes, that's not him.
Right. He's more the wing, top of the key.
Yeah. That's going to be the key to this series, too, other than taking care of the ball. Second most corner threes allowed. And Indiana loves to shoot them. So if that's what OKC gives up, that you know that Carlisle has that. Another great tweet from Bob Vulgaris, who used to work with him in Dallas, that no one he's encountered in all walks of life was more open to data and information than Carlisle. Mm. So if you're going to show him those numbers, he's going to go with it tonight.
So here's part of the reason why I'm with Jonathan Von Tobel, and I think that Chet Holmgren can have a really nice series here for the Thunder. JVT wrote this at VSiN.com that OKC doesn't necessarily have to play big in this series like they did against Minnesota and like they did against Denver, because Indiana is not a big team anyway. They're more finesse, and Indiana's not a good rebounding team. So to go Holmgren and Hartenstein at the same time is something that is going to be kind of unnecessary. And oh, by the way, in the postseason, OKC is outscoring opponents by only 1.2 points per every 100 possessions with both those players on the floor. Their offensive rating, when the lineup is only Chet on the floor and not Hartenstein, 126.5 points per 100 possessions, and they have a net rating of 21.7, plus 21.7. That tells you that Hartenstein here potentially doesn't have to be on the floor, and I buy into that a little bit here with those numbers. But Chet, I think because it's going to be a matchup problem for Indiana, I think Chet's the guy to back here. And one of the plays that I made was him to have a double-double tonight and the Thunder to win the game. I played it at plus 154. Paul, Indiana's not a good rebounding team. I mean, look what Cat did to them. Look at what Josh Hart did to them.
Yep.
Look at what others have done throughout the entire year. And I think Chet, on accident, can get 8, 10, 12 rebounds a game here in this series.
Cool market up at DraftKings. Finals debutante to break Allen Iverson's record of 48 points. SGA's 13-1. Could he score 49-plus? That's a cool market. It's unfortunate you don't have like a Curry, a LeBron James, a Luka, someone like that in the finals, because some of these stuff with the records are untouchable. Elgin Baylor, 62 points in a finals game.
Well, I think SGA can get to 48, 49 points.
Okay, 13-1, not bad. Okay.
Is it worth a bet?
Yeah.
I mean,
Curry has the record, 10 made threes, 50-1. Rebounds, I mentioned this earlier. Russell had 41. Good luck with that.
Well, I'll tell you what, Curry's record's going to go down one day.
Yes, I'm with you on that one.
Like, that's probably going to be dead in the next couple of years, but I don't, like, this year, does it make sense?
And Magic Johnson has the assist record. He had 22 dimes in a finals game.
Ugh,
96 for a series. Could Halliburton do that? It's 20-1.
Halliburton
97
would be
assists?
Think about what Halliburton has to do. He's going to be dancing all over Dort and Caruso and Wallace and these other defenders that OKC can just keep throwing at him like in waves.
What if they hit 23s in a game?
Well, they can.
He's a facilitator, and I'm not saying 23 in a game, but could he get the 97 if it's a deep series?
Oh,
Magic Johnson.
No.
Magic Johnson, so underrated. I stand by. Magic, Larry Bird. Too much of this generation forgets, and they don't even know, but those guys are still underrated in my mind.
Why I laugh at people who think Larry Bird couldn't play today. Larry Bird would be better today than he was back then.
Yeah, because he would shoot the three.
He's second best shooter. 6'10", awesome rebounder, ball handler, couldn't miss. I mean, come on, stop
absolutely.
It.
We hit the road next week. We go to Omaha. Runs will be ready. Live June 12th through the 14th, straight from Rocco's, the home of the Jello Shot Challenge. Catch money moves and follow the money, bringing the sights, sounds, and best bets from the tournament. If you're in the neighborhood, stop by, say hello. NBA Finals, NHL Finals, U.S. Open, College World Series, Omaha, June 12th through the 14th. We're on Saturday morning, 9 to noon local time.
NBA Finals, Jeff Sherman, Westgate Superbook coming up next. People are making a big deal out of the two cities playing for the title. Does that reflect in the betting handle? We'll ask him coming up on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.